Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful October 27th day, 2018, getting closer and closer to Halloween. Yeah, I love Halloween. Wonderful, wonderful time. Anyway, very grateful you're here. We're going to talk about how did I get here? I mean, really, wherever you are in your life, do you ever wonder how you got here? What the heck got you to the place you're at? Well, we'll talk a little bit about that today and hopefully be able to shed some light on the subject. I want to remind you we're in our year-end fundraising drive, and we need your support. It is impossible for this Aspire radio program, TV programs, and everything that I offer to be there for you like this if it were not for your support. It is only through your contributions, your tax-deductible gifts, that we are able to continue. We are in a drive right now to raise money to sustain our radio program, our TV program, and everything that we offer, my hospice work, everything. And I hope that you will, well, avail yourself of the opportunity of giving. It is only in your contributions that we are allowed to sustain, and what really helps is to join our sponsorship program. It really does help. You get a lot of wonderful goodies for it, the message of the month, access to my podcast, video cast, commentaries twice a month, and all of the Aspire TV discourses that I did over the many years of doing television. They're all there for you for free as my gift for you and to you. And there are so many different subjects. The Eightfold Path, the Tao, Nobody Likes You Anyway, I Gotcha. There's so many different subjects, so many different things we've done over the years. The sound of one hand clapping, that kind of thing. It's all very, very beautiful, very simple to listen to, and they are yours. To add to all of this, our mystery donor is going to match your donation. So this makes it really important for me, for Aspire, and for everything that I do to sustain itself. And I hope that you will become a sponsor. You can go to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. And if you get there, if you choose to get there, you will see the splash page, year-end donation. There's a little story there about the five fools and a little video I made for you. And I hope that you will make your contribution. It's a well worthwhile contribution, not only for the world, really, but for yourself. First question comes from Bryce in San Diego. Years ago, you told a story I will never forget. It is about the man who finds himself in a refrigerator and then two stories down. Would you please tell the story again and then tell me how did I get here? Okay, Bryce, the story goes like this. There was a man who was having a sexual tryst with a woman who was married, and while he was there and getting ready to leave, the husband arrived, and to hide from the husband, he jumped into this refrigerator. And when he jumped into it, the refrigerator tipped over out of a window and down two stories. And when the police came to rescue him, they asked him, "What happened?" And he said, "I don't know. I just got here." Ta-dum. So the story obviously has lots of different angles to it. So you want to know how you got here. In other words, metaphorically, Bryce, you're telling me that you're the man in the in the refrigerator, and you wonder how your life got here. And this, you know, Bryce, I have to tell you right off the bat, not many people get that joke, and not many people ask about it, and much less when they do, think that it has anything to do with them, but it really does, as you can tell. Thank you, Bryce. How did we get where we are today? How did you get where you are? Well, there's a lot of things that pertain to how we got here. One of them has to do with the law of cause and effect. What we are as the cause affects our body, our life, and eventually leaks out and manifests in the world in different ways. There's that. And then there is the collective unconscious that we belong to in our psyche. And that brings us to certain places. But the thing that I think is most interesting is that due to our unawareness, my lack of awareness, I find myself in predicaments that I never knew existed or didn't know how to expunge myself from. So we have to look at our life from the point of view of what is it about me that made my life possible. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this thing called our life. What is our life? What are we talking about here? People like to think that the circumstances and the conditions that we face as individuals is the state of our life. I disagree with this entirely, okay? Objects, people, things, circumstances, conditions are not my life. My life is what got me, first of all, it has to do with what got me into that refrigerator in the first place. What is my mischief? What am I doing? Now, the man that's having the affair with this woman and getting caught in the joke is up to his mischief. And he got into the refrigerator by trying to escape from an angry husband. So it's a joke. It's not to be taken literally, but it's a metaphoric joke. In other words, I'm on the SS stupidity pin. And if I stay on the SS stupidity pin, I will only suffer the many different avenues of that. Circumstances and conditions are going to happen no matter what you do, no matter how, quote unquote, perfect a life you think you're living. You and I are going to have circumstances and conditions that are very, very difficult. This is the first law to understand, and that is I am the effect that is occurring within my conditions, my outer conditions in this world. Now, if you don't understand that, if that doesn't make sense to you, you then will think that life is doing this to you, or life is punishing you, or life is rewarding you. Life isn't doing anything to me, to you. Life is mirroring me. It is just mirroring me. It is reflecting my values, my beliefs, my circumstances, my conditions. It is valuing myself in the mirror of my own conclusions about who and what I've come to. Now, when you understand this, when you truly get what that means inside yourself, then something begins to happen. You begin to realize, oh, this thing is about every nuance that is happening in my life, both the small nuances and the bigger nuances, the bigger things in life. Everything matters. So, Bryce, I have to look at your life. I have to look at my life and say, what is my life? It is how I am living in the nuances of daily livingness, how I am loving, how I am giving, how I am forgiving, how generous am I, how unconscionable am I about generosity and kindness. That is the major thing here. That is the most important thing. Then how I live within myself from those premises will set up situations to occur to show me the result and the reaction to my respect or lack of respect for the little nuances in my inner being, in my inner life. Life is just reflecting. Now, don't think for a moment, any of you, and especially you, Bryce, here in this question, that if you're doing well in this world or think you're doing well in this world, that it's going to continue, or that it's a sign you're doing something quote unquote right. It's not that at all. Anything right can turn sour at any moment. Anything bad can turn good in any moment. You can't be fooled by any of that. Don't look at your circumstances and conditions and be fooled by the idea that, oh, I must be doing this right. Oh, I must be doing that wrong. No, no, no. Don't do that. The object of this effort that we're talking about here is to live in love and to sustain an inner environment of love, no matter what the circumstances and the conditions are in my physical life. The last place things are going to manifest is in my physical life. So if you're very wise and can live in a wisdom that is beyond the treachery of your desires, ambition, and pride, then you have something really meaningful in your life, something that can change, something that can mature, something that can grow. It's very, very important. Bryce, let love live you. That's all I can say. Practice love, practice meditation. Bring depth to you, not circumstance. Bring depth. And if you go deeply into yourself, you will find that when your heart is awakened through this depth, you will feel nothing but a tremendous sense of gratitude for everything that has ever occurred in your life. And that is the most important thing you can do. Please forgive me, Bryce. Namaste. The next one comes from Carrie. He does not tell me where he lives. How do we deal with what we don't do? How do we deal with what we have done? How do we deal with this thing called life, Carrie? Carrie, life is a mixed bag. It really is. It's a mixed bag because you and I are a mixed bag. We're a lot of this and a little of that. We're a lot of that and a little bit of this. How do you deal with it? You deal with everything in gratitude and in a sense of giving and forgiving. That's how you deal with it. Be generous. If you want to really live your life well, you and I must be generous. We must live in an unconscionable generosity that sustains the effort of spiritual awakening. That's all it's about. No matter what anybody will tell you, no matter what you may think right and wrong is or good and bad is, it's all about love. It's all about a certain state of love. And if I am not careful, if I am not mindful of my life, I will miss. And if I miss, well, then I'm up to my mischief again. Now, we've all missed a little here, a little there. No, I said that wrong. Forgive me. We've all missed a lot, a little here, a little there. But to awaken is to begin to see that there is a karma to my life. There's a karma to your life. We are here to let this karma awaken us to the depth of our spirituality, not to punish us and not to create sadness or to create ugliness in any way, shape, or form. Karma is not all bad, and it isn't all good. It isn't good and bad. Listen to me. Karma is the energy that you and I bring into this world from previous worlds that we have lived in. It is daily karma, even. Daily karma is the life I've brought into my day previous from the day I had before. It is an energy. Now, sometimes this energy is mischievous. Sometimes it is kind. Sometimes it is loving. Sometimes it is beautiful. Sometimes it's ugly, frustrating. Sometimes it's hoarding. A lot of people live hoarding. A lot of people live in a state of an ugliness that exceeds anything that I could ever imagine. They live in hostility. They live in arrogance and pride and vanity. These are things that actually in our society today are, well, they're admired. So you have all of this going on in your day, in your life, in your world, in yourself, and this manifests. How do you deal with it? It deals with me. Mine deals with me. Yours deals with you. And that's just the way it is. It's not about punishment, reward. Listen to me. I'll try to explain this in a better way for you. Everything we do, no matter how difficult the situation may seem to be, it is to bring out the unconscionable love that lives within us. That love must include forgiveness, compassion. If it doesn't, then it's conscionable and I am being ugly about my life. I'm being stubborn, contrary. But if I can allow love to live within me, let love live me, as I like to say. And if you can allow this to happen without the idea of vengeance and pride, vanity and arrogance, then something beautiful begins to blossom inside of us, all of us, and we start seeing things in a different way. This is very important for me to understand, for you to understand, but most of us simply don't get it. We don't. We don't understand it. We don't comprehend it. We don't accept it. We don't nurture it. There is such great beauty in all of us, and yet we pass it by for the sake of our brain, what our brain can handle, how it can deal with things. Most people deal with their life through emotionality, and in doing so, they just miss the whole opportunity of what it is to be forgiving. I can't stress enough to you, Carrie. I can't stress enough the need for forgiveness. I can't stress that enough. The human being will not forgive. It can't forgive. So forgiveness is something you have to step into, which means you have to step out of the human. You have to step out of your emotionality. You have to step out of the pride. I can tell if a person is accomplished in any way, shape, or form by how forgiving they are, how generous they are in ignoring things that most people would get all upset about in a, let's say, a person's personality. They see a flaw. They see something going on that makes them feel like, well, I'm better than that. I wouldn't do that. I can tell. Because to the loving, kind, and forgiving person, there is nothing there to forgive. It has already been done because forgiveness is not a decree. It is a lifestyle. It is the way we live from within ourselves. And if I live in the kindness, the blessing of kindness, if I live to forgive, which is what I'm here to do, to live to forgive, then we enter into a vast new realm of life that is totally different than anything else we have ever imagined or ever experienced in our daily living. This is profound. This is a profound moment. People will come and sit before me, Carrie, in sessions, and they don't realize that the issues they have are based in the values they hold, the things that they think are important to them. And believe it or not, a lot of what's important to people that makes their world go round is how they hold vengeance, how they hold pride, how they hold vanity within themselves. This seems to be the most important thing in people's lives. And as long as we live in this kind of scrutiny for others and not for ourselves, we will live our life and maintain our life in a lackluster kind of courage. It takes great courage to forgive and to give. It takes great courage to be kind and unconscionably kind and generous. No matter what the situation is, it takes great courage. And that courage is to move beyond my emotionality, move beyond the emotions that sustain my silliness, my pride, my vanity, my mischief, all the things I do that are ugly. We all have these things. How do you deal with it? You deal with it in the unconscionable kindness of the heart. People are afraid of their hearts. They really are. Their spiritual heart, it's unnerving because there's no pride in it. There's nothing. In the conscionable, all you have is the human heart, which is prideful, vain, and bitter, and can get very angry. So there you are. It all depends on where you want to go with what's left of your life. And if you look at your life, you have to ask yourself, what did I squander this experience on? What was it? Did I do everything for the sake of myself? Did I do everything to elevate myself socially, financially? Is that what I did? Wow. Most people do. And hence, we have the world we have today. It's a tough one out there. Believe me, it is. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question from Linda. What is the advantage of a practice if it doesn't benefit you? It sounds to me like what you're preaching won't help me at all in my life. Linda. Linda, yours is a very popular posture. Yours is a very popular thought. It is a very common thought among most people that I deal with in my life. So I understand this very well. The thing that would most benefit most of us, or all of us, I should say, is the thing that we are least likely to seek in our living, hence why the world is the way it is. If you are looking for benefit, if you're looking for the idea of benefit, the idea of getting ahead, of having more, of getting more. If you're looking at ease and comfort of a life, then the spiritual practice really is not for you. You have not had enough suffering yet. And trust me, I promise you, you will. But if you've come to a point where you're not looking for the benefits anymore of maybe an entitled life, but you are looking for the truth, and you want the truth and the meaning of your life, then nothing could be more important than an authentic spiritual practice. If you're looking just to get through and have a good time, as it were, and have fun, and have the benefits of luxury and adoration, then the practice is not for you. It's just not time yet. But if you're looking for that which exceeds your ideals of right and wrong, good and bad, of luxury, of entitlement, of being special, adoration, if you're looking for the truth that will set you free, then the practice, meditation, inner work, awakening, attaining, this is the most important thing in your life. Because you will see with all those other things that you have, you're still the same person you are. When you can no longer stand yourself anymore, and you only want to seek the liberation that comes with conscious living, then you will find this is a very, very beneficial practice. It also not only helps you, but helps others. It helps the world. No, it isn't going to change the world. Jesus didn't change the world. Buddha did not change the world. Lao Tzu did not change the world. But those of us who have given up the world can hear their message. And the only thing that matters is what they had to say, what they had to teach. And we realize the value, the intrinsic value of finding the diamond that lives within us all. I hope that helped you a little bit. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. I'm out of here and I'm on time. Thank you for listening. I'll be back tomorrow morning. I hope you'll join me. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.